this improbable fiction performance. What you're about to see is a stage reading, meaning the actors will, of course, have scripts in hand, minimal sets, things like that. But we try to rehearse a bit and present the play in a way that helps, as we've said, get it on its feet, help you see it, experience it in a way that is much more play-like than just trying to read it. The play Measure for Measure was written around 1603. It is around the time Shakespeare was transitioning out of comedy into some very serious tragedy. And you will find passages in this play that are very reminiscent of themes from Hamlet and Macbeth, like the slide into evil and depravity, or thoughts about death. It gets quite heavy in a lot of ways. It's considered one of his darkest and most problematic comedies. But it's about a lot of different things. It's about crime and punishment. It's probably his most sustained engagement with the legal profession and with the idea of whether stern justice can really prevent crimes such as sexual indiscretion, something that obviously the main character Angelo believes, other characters maybe not so much. It's a play that's about abuse of power and sexual assault and corruption and coercion and a lot of very topical and interesting topics. And honestly, it includes one of Shakespeare's often overlooked great heroines in the character of Isabel, who finds herself up against all of these some tremendous odds and goes through an awful lot of psychological, devastating, torturous experiences throughout the play. But overall, I think one of the most interesting things for me in directing has been it's very much a play about faith and conviction. And the two lead characters, in a lot of ways, Isabella and Angelo both, are very strong, very strong in their religious principles. Angelo, in a way that is tested and finds a darker side of himself than maybe he ever expected to and is unequal to the task of resisting temptation. While Isabella is tested in a different way with having all these terrible things happen to her and then being tested herself on whether she can, you know, show mercy and what are the limits of forgiveness. And Shakespeare really explores it. It's a fascinating piece. So thank you for coming. We hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, I give you Improbable Fictions, a production of William Shakespeare's Measure for Measure.
Aeschylus!
My lord!
There is our commission, from which we would not have you warped. Call hither, I say, bid come before us Angelo. What figure think you, of us he will bear? For you must know, we have a special soul elected him our absence to supply. What think you of it?
If it any in Vienna be of worth to undergo such ample grace and honor, it is Lord Angelo.
Look where he comes.
Always obedient to your grace's will, I come to know your pleasure.
Angelo, there is a kind of character in thy life that to the observer doth thy history fully unfold. Heaven doth with us as we with torches do, not like them for themselves, for if our virtues did not go forth of us, 'twere all alike as if we had them not. Spirits are not finely touched, but define issues, nor nature never lends the smallest scruple of her excellence, but like a thrifty goddess, she determines herself the glory of a creditor, both thanks and use. Hold, therefore, Angelo, in our remove, be thou at full ourself. Mortality and mercy in Vienna live in thy tongue and heart. Old Aeschylus, though first in question, is thy secondary. Take thy commission.
Now, my good lord, let there be some more test made of my mettle before so noble and so great a figure be stamped upon it.
No more evasion. Our haste from hence is of so quick condition that it prefers itself and leaves unquestioned matters of needful value. We shall write to you, as time and our concerning shall importune. To the hopeful execution do I leave you of your commissions.
Yet, give me leave, my lord.
My haste will not admit it, nor need you, on my honor, have to do with any scruple. Your scope is as mine own, so to enforce or qualify the laws as to your soul seems good. Give me your hand. Once more, farewell.
Lead forth and bring back your you back in happiness.
Fare you well.
I shall desire you, sir, to give me leave to have free speech with you. And it concerns me to look into the bottom of my place, a power I have, but of what strength and nature I am not yet instructed.
So it is with me. Let's withdraw together, and we may soon our satisfaction have touching that point.
I'll await upon your honor.
Heaven grant us its peace. but not the king of Hungary.
Amen. Thou concludest like the sanctimonious pirate that went to sea with the Ten Commandments, but scraped one out of the table.
Thou shalt not steal.
That he raised.
Why, 'twas a commandment to command the captain and all the rest from their functions. They put forth to steal. There's not a soldier of us all that, in the thanksgiving before meat, do relish the petition well, that prays for peace.
I never heard any soldier dislike it.
I believe before, I think thou never wast where grace was said, in any proportion or any language. Behold, behold, where Mistress Mitigation comes. I have purchased as many diseases under her roof as
man. Well, there's one yonder arrested and carried to prison was worth 5,000 of you all.
Who's that, I pray thee?
Mary, sir, that's Claudio. Signor Claudio.
Claudio to prison? Tis not
Nay,
so.
Nay, but I know tis so. I saw him arrested, saw him carried away, and, which is more, within these 3 days, his head to be chopped up.
How sure of this?
I am too sure of it. And it is for getting a Madame Juliet out of child.
Wait. Let's go learn the truth of it.
Thus, what with the war, what with the sweat, what with the gallows, and what with poverty, I am custom shrunk. How now, Pompey, what news with you?
You have not heard of a proclamation, then.
What proclamation, man?
All the houses in the suburbs of Vienna are to be plucked down.
And what of those? What shall become of those in the city?
They shall stand for siege. They had gone down too, but that a wise burgher put in for them.
But shall all our houses of resort in the suburbs be pulled down?
To the ground, mistress.
Why, here's a change indeed in the Commonwealth. What will become of me?
Come, fear you not. Good counselors lack no clients. Though you change your place, you need not change your trade. I'll be your tapster still. Courage. There will be pity taken on you. You that have worn your eyes almost out in the service, you will be remembered. Ah, here comes Claudio, led by the provost to prison.
Fellow, why dost thou show me thus to the world? Bear me to prison where I am committed.
I do it not with evil disposition, but from Lord Angelo by special charge.
Thus can the demigod authority make us pay down for our offense by weight the words of heaven. On whom it will, it will. On whom it will not, so. Yet still, 'tis just.
Why, how now, Claudio? Whence comes this restraint?
From too much liberty, Lucio. Liberty. As surfeit is the father of much fast, so every scope by the immoderate use turns to restraint. Our natures do pursue like rats that raven down their proper vein of thirsty evil. And when we drink, we die.
Away, sir, you must go.
One word, good friend Lucio, one word.
100 if they'll do you any good.
Is lechery so looked after? Thus it stands with me. Upon a true contract, I got possession of Julietta's bed. You know the lady. She is fast my wife, save that we do that outward denunciation lack of order. But it chances the stealth of our most mutual entertainment with character too gross is writ on Juliet.
With child, perhaps.
Unhappily, even so. And the new deputy, now for the Duke, whether it be the fault and glimpse of newness, this new governor awakes all the enrolled penalties which have, like unscoured armor, hung by the wall, so long that 19 zodiacs have gone round, and none of them been worn. And for a name, now puts the drowsy and neglected act freshly on me. 'Tis surely for a name.
I warrant it is. Send after the Duke and appeal to him.
I have done so, but he's not to be found. I prithee, Lucio, do this kind service for me. This day, my sister should the cloister enter, and there receive her approbation. Acquaint her with the danger of my state. Implore her in my voice that she make friends to the strict deputy. Bid her assay him. I have great hope in that, for in her youth there is a prone and speechless dialect such as move men. Besides, she hath prosperous art when she will play with reason and discourse, and well she can persuade.
I pray she may, not to her.
I thank you, good friend Lucio.
Within 2 hours.
Come, officer, away.
Why I desire thee to give me secret harbor hath a purpose more grave and wrinkled than the aims and ends of burning youth.
May your grace speak of it?
I have delivered to Lord Angelo, a man of stricture and firm abstinence, my absolute power and place here in Vienna. And he supposes me travel to Poland, for so I have strewed it to the common ear, and so it is received. Now, you will demand me why I do this.
Gladly, my lord.
We have strict statutes and most biting laws, the needful bits and curbs to headstrong use, which for this 19 years we have let slip. In time, the rod becomes more mocked than feared. So our decrees, dead to infliction, to themselves are dead, and liberty plucks justice by the nose.
It rested in your grace to unloose this tide of justice when you please. And it in you, more dreadful than would have seemed than in Lord Angelo.
I do fear too dreadful. Therefore, indeed, I have on Angelo imposed the office, and to behold his sway, I will, as twere a brother of your order, a friar, visit both prince and people. Lord Angelo is precise, stands at a guard with envy, scarce confesses that his blood flows, or that his appetite is more to bread than stone. Hence we shall see, if power change purpose, what our seemers be.
And have you not no farther privileges? Are these not large enough?
Yes, truly. I speak not of desiring more, but rather wishing a more strict restraint upon the sisterhood.
Oh, peace be in this place.
When you avow, you must not speak with men, but in the presence of the prioress. He called him, I pray you, answer him. Peace and prosperity, who is that calls?
Hail, virgin, if so you be.
As those cheek roses proclaim you, no less. Can you so stand me as bring me to the side of Isabella, a novice of this place, and a fair sister to her unhappy brother, Claudio?
Why her unhappy brother? I am but Isabella, and his sister.
Gentle and fair, your brother kindly greets you. Not to be wearied with you, he's in prison.
For what?
For that which in myself might be his judge, he should receive his punishment in thanks. He hath got his friend with child. I hold you as a thing, in sky as sacred, by your renouncement and immortal spirit, and to be taught with insincerity as with a saint.
You do blaspheme the good in mocking me.
Your brother and his lover have embraced.
Someone with child by him? Will let him marry her?
This is the point. The Duke is very strangely gone from hence. Upon his place in the full light of his authority governs Lord Angelo, a man whose blood is very snow broth. He, to be feared to use and liberty, both hath picked out an act, under whose heavy sense your brother's life falls into forfeit. He rests him on it, and follows close the rigor of the statute to make him an example. All hope is gone, unless you have the grace by your fair prayer to soften Angelo, and that's my pith of business twixt you and your poor brother.
Doth he so seek his life?
I've censured him already, and as I hear, the provost had a warrant for his execution.
Alas, what poor ability in me to do him good?
I say the power you have.
My power? Alas, I doubt.
Our doubts are traitors, and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. Go to Lord Angelo, and let him learn to know. When they ensue, men give like gods. But when they weep and kneel, all their petitions are as freely theirs as they themselves would owe them.
I'll see what I can do.
And speedily.
I will about it straight.
We must not make a scarecrow of the law, setting it up to fear the birds of prey, and let it keep one shape till custom make it their perch and not their terror.
Aye, but yet, let us be keen, and rather cut a little than fall and bruise to death. Alas, this gentleman whom I would save had a most noble father. Let but your honor know, whom I believe to be most straight in virtue, that in the working of your own affections, had time cohered with place or place with wishing, or that the resolute acting of your blood could have attained the effect of your own purpose, whether you had not sometime in your life erred in this point, which you now censure him and pull the law upon you.
is one thing to be tempted, Aeschylus, another thing to fall. The jury, pressing on the prisoner's life, may have sworn 12 had a thief or two guiltier than him, they tried. What's open made to justice, but justice seizes. You may not so extenuate his offense, for I have had such faults, but rather, tell me, when I, that sins for him, do so offend, let mine own judgment pattern out my death, and nothing come impartial. Sir, he must die.
Be it as your wisdom will.
Where's the provost?
Here, if it like your honor.
See that Claudio be executed by night tomorrow morning. Bring his confessor, let him be prepared, for that's the utmost of his pilgrimage.
Well, heaven forgive him, and forgive us all. Some rise by sin, and some by virtue fall.
Come, lead them away!
Oh, now, sir, what's your name, and what's the matter?
If it please your honor, I am the poor Duke's constable, and my name is Elbow. I do lean upon justice, sir, and do bring in here before your good honor two notorious benefactors.
Benefactors? What benefactors are they? Are they not malefactors?
If it please your honor, I know not well what they are, but precise villains they are, that I am sure of, and void of all profanation in the world that good Christians ought to have.
This comes off well. He's a wise officer.
What are you, sir?
He, sir, a tapster, sir, parcel bawd, one that serves a bad woman, whose house, sir, was, as they say, plucked down in the suburbs.
How do you know that?
My wife, sir, whom I detest before heaven and your honor.
How? My wife?
Aye, sir, whom I thank heaven is an honest woman.
Dost thou detest her therefore?
Say, sir, I would detest myself also, as well as she, that this house, if it be not a bawd's house, it is pity of her life, for it is a naughty house.
How dost thou know that, counselor?
Sir, if it please your honor, this is not so.
Prove it before these Bartlets here, thou honorable man. Prove it.
Do you hear how he displaces?
Sir, Mistress Elbow came in great with child, and longing, saving your honor's reverence, for stewed prunes, sir. We had but two in the house, which at that very distant time stood, as it were, in a fruit dish. They dish of some 3 pence. Your honors have seen such dishes. They are not china dishes, but very good dishes.
Go to! No matter for the dish, sir!
No, indeed, sir, not of a pin. You are there and in the right, but to the point. As I say, this Mistress Elbow, being, as I say, with child, and being great-bellied and longing, as I said, for prunes, and having but two in the dish, as I said, Master Froth here, this very man, having eaten the rest, as I said, and as I say, paying for them very honestly.
All this is true.
Why, very well then.
Come, you are a tedious fool, to the purpose. What was done to Elbow's wife that he hath cause to complain of? Come me to what was done to her.
God, this will last out a night in Russia, where nights are longest there. I'll take my leave, and leave you the hearing of the cause, hoping you'll find cause to whip them all.
I think no less. Good morrow to your lordship. Now, sir, come on. What was done to Elbow's wife once more?
Once, sir. There was nothing done to her once.
I beseech you, sir, ask him what this man did to my wife.
I beseech your honor, ask me.
Well, sir, what did this gentleman to her?
I beseech you, sir, look in this gentleman's face. Doth your honor mark his face?
Aye, sir, very well.
May I beseech you, mark it well.
Well, I do so.
Doth your honor see any harm in his face?
Why,
no. I'll be supposed, upon a book, his face is the worst thing about him. Good, then. If his face be the worst thing about him, how can Master Froth do the constable's wife any harm? I would know that of your honor.
He's in the right, constable. What do you say to that?
Bartlett, thou liest, wicked Bartlett.
Which is the wiser here, justice or ambiguous?
What is it your worship's pleasure I shall do with this wicked caitiff?
Truly, officer, because he hath some offenses in him that thou wouldst discover if thou couldst, let him continue in his courses till thou knowest what they are.
Mary, I thank your worship for it. Thou seest, thou wicked Bartlett, now what's come upon thee. Thou art to continue now, thou Bartlett. Thou art to continue.
Where were you born, friend?
Here in Vienna, sir.
So, what trade are you of, sir?
Tapster, a poor widow's tapster.
Your mistress' name?
Mistress Overdone.
Has she had any more than one husband?
9, sir. Overdone by the less.
9? Come here to me, Master Thrall. Get you gone, and let me hear no more of you. Come you hither to me. What's your name, Master Tapster?
Pompey.
What else?
Bum, sir.
Oh, draw, and your bum is the greatest thing about you, so that in the beastliest sense, you are Pompey the Great. Pompey, you are partly a bawd, Pompey, however you color it in being a tapster, are you not? Come, tell me true, it shall be better for you.
Truly, sir, I am a poor fellow that would live.
How would you live, Pompey, by being a bawd? What do you think of the trade, Pompey? Is it a lawful trade?
If the law would allow it, sir.
But the law will not allow it, Pompey, nor shall not be allowed in Vienna.
Does your worship mean to geld and splay all the youth of the city?
No, Pompey.
Truly, sir, in my poor opinion, they will to it, then. If your worship will take order for the drabs and the knaves, you need not to fear the bawds.
They are pretty orders beginning, I can tell you. But it is but heading and hanging.
If you head and hang all that offend that way but for 10 years together, you'll be glad to give out a commission for more heads. If this law hold in Vienna 10 year, I'll rent the fairest house in it. If you live to see this come to pass, say Pompey told you so.
Thank you, good Pompey. And in requital of your prophecy, hark you, I advise you, let me not find you before me again upon any complaint whatsoever. No, not for dwelling where you do. If I do, Pompey, I shall beat you to your tent and prove a shrewd Caesar to you. In plain dealing, Pompey, I shall have you whipped. So, for this time, Pompey, fare you well.
I thank your worship for your good counsel, but I shall follow it as the flesh and fortune shall better determine. Whip me? No. No, let Carter whip his jade. The valiant heart is not whipped out of his trade.
Come here with me. Come here with me, Master Elbow. How long have you been in this place of constable?
7 years and a half, sir.
Oh, I thought by your readiness in the office you had continued it in some time. You say 7 years together?
And a half, sir.
Are there not men in your ward sufficient to serve it?
Faith, sir. Few of any wit in such matters.
Look, you bring me in the names of some 6 or 7, the most sufficient of your parish.
To your worship's house, sir?
To my house. What o'clock, think you?
11, sir.
I pray you, home to dinner with me.
Oh, I humbly thank you.
It grieves me the death of Claudio, but there's no remedy.
Lord Angelo is severe.
It is but needful. Mercy is not itself that oft looks so. Heart is still the nurse of second woe. But yet, poor Claudio. There is no remedy. Come, sir.
I'll know his pleasure. Maybe he will relent. Alas, he hath but as offended in his dream. All sects, all ages smack of this vice and heat. Die for it.
Now what's the matter, provost?
Is it your will Claudio shall die tomorrow?
Why not tell thee, yea? Hast thou not ordered? Why dost thou ask again?
Lest I might be too rash under your good correction. I have seen when, after execution, judgment hath repented o'er his doom.
Go to.
Let that be mine. Do you your office, or give up your place, and you shall be spared.
I crave your honest pardon. What shall be done, sir, with the groaning Juliet? She's very near her hour.
Dispose of her to some more fitter place, and that with speed.
Here's the sister of the man condemned desires access to you.
Have you a sister?
Aye, my good lord, a very virtuous maid, and shortly to be of a sisterhood, if not already.
Well, let her be admitted. See you the fornicatress removed. There shall be order for it.
God save your honor.
Stay a while. You're welcome. What's your will?
I am a woeful suitor to your honor. Please let your honor hear me.
Well, what's your suit?
There is a vice that most I do abhor and most desire should meet the blow of justice, for which I would not plead, but that I must, for which I must not plead, but that I am at war to its will and will not.
Well, no matter.
I have a brother is condemned to die. I do beseech you, let it be his fault and not my brother.
Heaven give thee moving graces.
Then the fault, and not the actor of it? Why? Every fault condemned there be done. Mine were the very cipher of a function, to find the fault whose fine stands in record, and let go by the actor.
Oh, just what severe law. I have a brother then. Heaven keep your honor.
Give not or so. To him again, entreat him. Kneel down before him, hang upon him like a glove. Too cold.
Must he needs die?
Maiden, no remedy.
Yes, I do think that you might pardon him, and neither heaven nor man grieve at the mercy.
I will not do it.
But can you, if you would?
Look, what I will not, that I cannot do.
But might you do it, and do the world no wrong?
He's sentenced. It is too late.
Too late? Why, no. I that you speak a word may call it back again. Well, believe this. No ceremony that to great ones longs, not the king's crown, nor the deputed sword, to marshal's truncheon, nor the judge's robe, become them with one half so good a grace as mercy does. If he had been as you, and you as he, you would have slipped like him. But he, like you, would not have been so stern.
Pray, be gone.
I would to heaven I had your potency, and you were Isabel. Should it then be thus? No. I would tell what 'twere to be a judge and what prisoner.
Aye, touch him, there's the vein.
Your brother is a forfeit of the law, and you but waste your words.
Why, all the souls that were forfeit once, and he that might the vantage best have took, found out the remedy. How would you be if he, which is the top of judgment, should but judge you as you are? Oh, think on that, and mercy then will breathe within your lips like man new made.
Be you content, fair maid. It is the law, not I, contend your brother. Were he my kinsman, brother, or my son, it would be thus with him. He must die tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, that sudden, spare him, spare him. He is not prepared for death. Good, my lord, bethink you. Who is it that hath committed this offense? There's many who committed it.
Aye, well said.
The law hath been there, though it has slept. Those many have not dared to do that evil if first that the edict infringed had entered for his deed. Now it is wake, takes note of what is done.
Yet show some pity.
I show it most of all when I show justice. For then, I pity those I do not know, which to dismiss offense would after gall, and do him right that, answering one foul wrong, lives not to act another. Be satisfied, your brother dies tomorrow.
So you must be the first that gives this sentence, and he that suffers. Oh, it is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant. If could great men thunder, as Jove himself does, Jove would never be quiet. For every pelting, petty officer would use his heaven for thunder. Nothing but thunder. Merciful heaven, thou rather with a sharp and sulphurous bolt splits the unwedgeable and gnarled oak than the soft myrtle. But man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured his glassy essence, like an angry ape, plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as make the angels weep. who, with our spleens, would all themselves lack mortal.
Pray heaven she win him.
We cannot weigh our brother with ourself. Great men may jest with saints. 'Tis wit in them, in less foul profanation. That in the captain for a choleric word, which in the soldiers is flat blasphemy.
Why do you put these sayings upon me?
Because authority, though it err like others, hath yet a kind of medicine in itself. Go to your bosom, knock there, and ask your heart what it doth know that's like my brother's fault. If it confess a natural guiltiness such as his, let it not sound a thought upon your tongue against my brother's life.
She speaks. It is such sense that my sense breeds with it. Are you well?
Gentle, my lord, turn back.
I will be thinking. Come again tomorrow.
Hark, how I'll bribe you. Good, my lord, turn back.
How? Bribe me?
Aye, with such gifts that heaven shall share with you. Not with the bond shekels of protested gold or stones whose rates are either rich or poor as fancy values them, but with true prayers.
Well, come to me tomorrow.
Go to, 'tis well. Away.
Heaven keep your honor safe.
Amen. For I am that way going to temptation where prayers cross.
At what hour shall I attend your lordship?
Any time before noon. From thee, and from thy virtue. What's this? What's this? Is this her fault or mine? The tempter or the tempted, who sins most? Not she, nor does she tempt. Can it be that modesty may more betray our sense than woman's likeness? Having waste ground enough, shall we desire to raise a sanctuary and pitch our evils there? What dost thou? What art thou, Angelo? Dost thou desire her foully for those things that make her good? Oh, let her brother live. Thieves for their robbery have authority when judges steal themselves. What? Do I love her? That I desire to speak with her again and feast upon her eyes. What is it I dream of? Oh, cunning enemy, that to catch a saint with saints doth bait thy hook. Most dangerous is the temptation that doth goad us on to sin in loving virtue. Could never the strumpet with all her double vigor, art, and nature once stir my temper. But this virtuous maid subdues me quite. Even till now, when men were fond, I smiled. I wondered how.
Hail to you, Provost!
So I think you are.
I am the Provost. What's your will, good friar?
Bound by my charity and my blessed order, I come to visit the afflicted spirits here in the prison. Do me the common right to let me see them and to make me know the nature of their crimes, that I may minister to them accordingly.
I would do more than that if more were needful.
I would pray and think. I think and pray to several subjects. Heaven, half my empty words, false my invention. Hearing not my tongue, anchors on Isabel. Heaven in my mouth, as if I did but only chew his name, and in the heart the strong and swelling evil of my conception. The state wherein I studied is like a good thing, being often read, growing fear, the tedious yea, my gravity, wherein let no man hear me, take pride. Could I with boot change for an idle plume which the air beats for vain? Blood, thou art blood. How now, who goes there?
One Isabel, a sister, desires access to you.
Teach her the way. Oh, heavens, what does my
by blood, thus mustered to my heart, handmaking both that unable for itself, and dispensating all my other parts of necessary fitness. Now, fair maid.
I am come to know your pleasure.
That you may know it would much better please me than to demand what it is. Your brother cannot live.
Even so, heaven keep your honor.
Yet, may he live a while, and may it be as long as you or I. Yet he must die.
Under your sentence.
Yea?
When, I beseech you, that in his reprieve, longer or shorter, he may be so fitted that his soul sicken not.
If it were as good to pardon him that hath from nature stolen a man already made, as to remit their saucy sweetness that do coin heaven's image and stamps that are forbid.
'Tis set down so in heaven, but not on earth.
Say you so? Then I shall pose you quickly. What should you rather? That for the most just law now took your brother's life, or to redeem him? Give up your body to such sweet uncleanness that he hath stained? Has she that he hath stained?
Sir, believe this, I had rather give my body than my soul.
I talk not of your soul.
How say you?
Answer to this. I, now the voice of the recorded law, pronounce a sentence on your brother's life. Might there not be a charity in sin to save this brother's life?
That I do beg his life, if it be sin, heaven let me bear it. You granting of my suit, if that be sin, I'll make it my morn prayer to have added to faults of mine and nothing of your answer.
Nanny, but hear me! Your sentence pursues not mine. Either you are ignorant or you seem so craftily, and that's not good.
Let me be ignorant, and in nothing good but graciously to know I am no better.
Thus wisdom wishes to appear most bright when it doth tax itself, as these black masks proclaim and enshield beauty 10 times louder than it be received, than beauty could display. But mark me, to be received plain, I'll speak more gross. Your brother is to die.
So?
And his offense is so, as it appears, accountant to the law upon that pay.
True.
Admit, no other way to save his life, as I subscribe, not that, or any other, but in the loss of question, that you, his sister, finding yourself desired of such a person whose credit with a judge or own great place could fetch your brother from the manacles of the all-building law, and that there were no earthly need to save him, but that either you must lay down the treasures of your body to this supposed, or else let him suffer. What would you do?
As much for my poor brother as myself. That is, were I under the terms of death, the impression of king, which I wear as rubies ere I yield my body unto shame.
Then your brother must die.
And twere the cheaper way. Better it were a brother died at once than that a sister, by redeeming him, should die forever.
Were you not then as cruel as the sinners that you just slandered so?
Indemnity and ransom and free pardon are of two houses. Lawful mercy is nothing kin to foul redemption.
You seem too late to make the law a tyrant, and rather prove the slighting of your brother a merit than a vice.
Oh, pardon me, my lord, it oft falls out to have what we would have. We speak not what we mean. I have something to excuse the thing I hate for his advantage that I dearly love.
We are all afraid.
Else let my brother die. If not confederate, when only he owe and succeed thy weakness.
Nay. Women are frail, too.
Aye, as the glasses where they view themselves, which are as easy broke as they make wars. Nay, call us 10 times frail, for we are as soft as our complexions are, and credulous to false prints.
I think it well, and from this testimony of your own sex,
since I suppose we are made to be no stronger than the faults may shake our frames, let me be so bold. I do impress your words. If you are, that is, a woman. If you be more, you're none. If you be one, as you well express by external warrants, show it now.
I have no tongue but one. Gentle, my boy, let me entreat to speak the former language.
Can you conceive? I love you.
My brother did love Juliet, and you tell me that he shall die for it.
He shall not, Isabella. Give me love.
I know your virtue had a license in it, which seems a little fouler than it is to pluck on others.
Believe me, on mine own honor, my words express my purpose.
Little honor to be much believed in most pernicious purpose. Seeming. Seeming. I will proclaim thee, Angelo. Look for it. Sign me with a present pardon for my brother, or with an outstretched throat I'll tell the world aloud what man thou art.
Who will believe thee, Isabel? My unsoiled name, the austereness of my life, my vows against you, and my place in the state will so your accusation outweigh that you shall stifle in your recorded smell of calumny. I have begun, and now give my sensual race the rein. Redeem thy brother by yielding up thy body to my will, or else he may not only die in death, but thy unkindness shall his death draw out to lingering sufferance. Answer me tomorrow. Or, by the affection that now guides me most, I'll prove a tyrant to him. As for you, say what you can. My faults overweighs your true.
To whom should I complain? Did I tell this? Who would believe me? O perilous mouths that in them one and the self-same tongue, either a condemnation or a proof, bidding the law make curtsy to their will, looking both right and wrong to the appetite, to follow as it draws. All to my brother, though he hath fallen by a frontier of the blood, yet hath he in him such a mind of honor that, had he 20 heads to tender down, 20 bloody blocks, he yield them up before his sister should her body stoop to such abhorred pollution. Then, Isabel, live chaste, and brother die. More than our brother is our chastity. I'll tell him yet of Angelo's request, and fit his mind to death with his soul's rest.
So then, you hope a pardon from Lord Angelo?
The miserable have no other medicine but only hope. I hope to live, and am prepared to die.
Be absolute for death. Either death or life shall thereby be this near. Reason thus with life. If I do lose thee, I do lose a thing that none but fools will keep. Merely thou art death's fool. For him thou laborest by thy flight to shun and yet runnest towards his ill. Yet in this life like did more thousand deaths. Yet death we fear that makes these odds all even.
I humbly thank you. To sue to live, I find I seek to die, and seeking death find life. Let it come on.
Who's there? Come in. The wish deserves a welcome.
Dear sir, ere long I'll visit you again.
Most holy sir, I thank you.
My business is a word or two with Claudio.
And very welcome. Look, senor, here's your sister.
Provost, a word with you.
As many as you please.
Bring me to where I may hear them speak, where I may be concealed.
Now, sister, what's the comfort?
Why, as all comforts are. Most good indeed. Lord Angelo, having affairs to heaven, intends you for his swift ambassador. Therefore, your best appointment makes speed. Tomorrow you set on.
Is there no remedy?
Yes, brother, you may live. There is a devilish mercy in the judge, if he'll implore it, that will free your life, but fetter you till death.
But in what nature?
In one such as you consenting to it, would bark your honor for the trunk you bear and that you make it.
Let me know the point.
For I do fear thee, Claudio, and I quake lest thou a feverous life should entertain, and six or seven winters more respect than a perpetual honor. Darest thou die? The sense of death is most in apprehension, and the poor beetle that we tread upon in corporal sufferance finds a pang as great as when a giant dies.
Why give you me this shame? Think you I can a resolution fetch from flowery tenderness? If I must die, I will encounter darkness as a bride and embrace it in mine arms.
There's faith, my brother. There my father's grave did utter one of the voice. Yes, thou must die. Thou art too noble to conserve a life in these appliances. This outward sainted deputy is yet a devil. His filth within being cast, he would appear upon as deep as hell.
Angela!
Oh, tis the cunning livery of hell. Dost thou think, Claudio, if I would yield him my virginity, thou mightst be free?
Oh, heavens, it cannot be.
Yes, he would give it thee from this rank offense to offend him still. This night's the time that I should do what I abhor to name. Or else thou diest tomorrow.
Thou shalt not do it?
Oh, were it but my life, I'd throw it down for your deliverance as frankly as a pin.
Thanks, dear Isabella.
Be ready, Claudio, for your death tomorrow.
Yes. Has he affections in him that can make him bite the law by the nose when he would force it? Sure, it is no sin, or of the deadly seven it is the least.
Which is the least?
If it were damnable, he being so wise, why would he, for the momentary trick, be perdurably fond? Oh, Isabel!
What says my brother?
Death is a fearful thing.
And shamed like a hateful.
Aye, but to die, and go we know not where, to lie in cold obstruction and to rot, this sensible warm motion to become a kneaded clod, and the delighted spirit to bathe in fiery flood, or to reside in thrilling region of thick ribbed ice, to be imprisoned in the viewless winds and blown with restless violence round the pendant world, or to be worse than worst of those that lawless and uncertain thought imagine howling, 'tis too horrible. The weariest and most loathed worldly life that age, hate, penury, and imprisonment can lay on nature is a paradise to what we fear of death.
Alas, alas!
Sweet sister, let me live. What sin you do to save a brother's life, nature dispenses with the deed so far that it becomes a virtue.
Bloody beast, O faithless coward, dishonest wretch, wilt thou be made a man out of my vice? Is it not a kind of incest to take a life from thy own sister's shame? Take my defiance, die, perish. Might but my bending down grieve thee from thy fate should proceed. I'll pray a thousand prayers for thy death. No word to save thee.
Nay, hear me, Isabel.
Thy sin's not accidental, but a trade. Mercy to thee would prove itself a god. 'Tis best thou diest quickly.
Oh, hear me, Isabella!
Vouchsafe a word, young sister, but one word.
What is your will?
Might you dispense with your leisure, I would by and by have some speech with you.
I will attend you a while.
Son, I have overheard what passed between you and your sister. Angelo had never the purpose to corrupt her. Only he had made an essay of her virtue. I am confessor to Angelo, and I know this to be true. Therefore, prepare yourself to death. Do not satisfy your resolution with hopes that are fallible. Tomorrow you must die. Go to your knees and make ready.
Let me ask my sister's pardon. I am so out of love with life that I seek death.
Hold you there. Farewell. The hand that hath made you fair hath made you good. The assault that Angelo hath made to you, fortune hath conveyed to my understanding. And, but that frailty hath examples for his falling, I should wonder at Angelo.
But oh, how much is the good Duke deceived in Angelo. If ever he return, and I can speak to him, I will open my lips in vain or discover his government.
That shall not be much amiss. Yet, as the matter now stands, he will avoid your accusation. He made trial of you only. Therefore, fasten your ear on my advisings. To the love I have in doing good, a remedy presents itself. I do make myself believe that you may most uprighteously do a poor wronged lady a merited benefit. Redeem your brother from the angry law. Do no stain to your own gracious person, and much please the absent duke. If, peradventure, he shall ever return to have hearing of this business.
Let me hear you speak farther. I have spirit to do anything that appears not foul in the truth of my spirit.
Virtue is bold and goodness never fearful. Have you not heard speak of Mariana, the sister of Frederick, the great soldier, who miscarried at sea?
I have heard of the lady and good words. What is her name?
She should this Angelo have married, was affianced to her by oath, and the nuptial appointed. Between which time of the contract and the limit of the solemnity, her brother Frederick was wrecked at sea, having in that perished vessel the dowry of his sister.
Can this be so? Did Angelo so leave her?
Left her in her tears and dried not one of them with his comfort. Swallowed his vows whole, pretending in her discoveries of dishonor.
What corruption in this life that it will let this man live. But how out of this can she avail?
This foreign maid hath yet in her the continuance of her first affection. Go you to Angelo. Answer his requiring with a plausible obedience. Agree with his demands to the point. Only refer yourself to this advantage. First, that your stay with him may not be long. That the time may have all shadow and silence in it, and the place answer to convenience. We shall advise this wronged maid to set up your appointment. Go in your place. By this is your brother saved, your honor untainted, the poor Mariana advantaged, and the corrupt deputy scaled.
The image of it gives me much content already, and I trust it will grow to a most prosperous perfection.
It lies much in your holding up. I will presently to St. Luke's.
Thank you for this comfort. Fare you well, good father.
Come your way, sir. Bless you, good father friar.
And you, good brother father. What offense hath this man made you, sir?
Marry, sir, he hath offended the law. And, sir, we take him to be a thief, too, sir. For we have found upon him, sir, a strange picklock, which we have sent to the deputy.
Fie, sirrah! A bog, a wicked bog. The evil that thou canst cause us to be done, that is thy means to live. Do thou but think what 'tis to cram a maw or clothe a back with such a filthy vice. Say to thyself, from there abominable and beastly touches, I drink, I eat, array myself, and live. Canst thou believe thy living is a life so stinkingly depending? Go mend, go mend.
Indeed, sir, it does stink in some sort, sir. But yes, sir, I would prove.
Nay, if the devil had given thee proofs for sin, thou wouldst prove his. Take him to prison, officer.
Art going to prison, Pompey?
Yes, faith, sir.
Why, it is not amiss, Pompey. Farewell, go. Say I sent thee thither. For debt, Pompey, or how?
For being a bawd. For being a bog.
Well, then, imprisonment. If imprisonment be the due of a bog, why, 'tis his right. Born is he doubtless, and of antiquity too. Bog born. Farewell, good Pompey.
I hope, sir, your good worship will be my bail.
No, indeed, I will not, Pompey. It is not the wear. I will pray, Pompey, to increase your bondage. If you take it not patiently, why, your metal is the more. Adieu, trusty Pompey. Bless you, friar.
And you?
What news, friar of the duke? It was a mad, fantastical trick of him to steal from his fate and usurp the beggary he was never born to. Lord Angelo dukes it well in his absence. He puts transgression to it.
He does well in it.
A little more lenity to lechery would do no harm in him. Something too crabbed that way, friar.
It is too general a vice, and severity must cure it.
Yes, in good sooth, the vice is of a great kindred. It is well allied. But it is impossible to extirp it quite, friar, till eating and drinking be put down. They say this Angelo was not made by man and woman after this downright way of creation. Is it true, thank you? How should he be made then?
Some report a sea maid spawned him. Some that he was begot between two stockfishes. But it is certain that when he makes water, his urine is congealed ice. And I know you're sure. That's infallible.
You are pleasant, sir, and speed of pace.
Why, what a ruthless thing is this in him, but the rebellion of a codpiece to take away the life of a man. Would the duke that is absent have done this? Ere he would have hanged a man for the getting 100 bastards, he would have paid for the nursing of 1,000. He had some feeling of the sport. He knew this service, and that instructed him to mercy.
I never heard the absent duke question technique for women. He was not inclined that way.
Oh, sir, you are deceived.
It is not possible.
Whoa, not the duke. He would be drunk, too. Let me inform you.
You do wrong him, surely.
Sir, I was an inward of his. A shy fellow was the duke, and I believe I know the cause of his withdrawing.
What, I prithee, might be the cause?
No, pardon? 'Tis a secret must be locked within the teeth and the lips. But this I can let you understand. The greater Philo of the subject held the duke to be wise.
Wise? Why, no question but he was.
A very superficial, ignorant, unweighing fellow.
Either this is the envy in you, folly or mistaken, sir.
I know him, and I love him.
Love talks with better knowledge, and knowledge with dearer love.
Come, sir, I know what I know.
I can hardly believe that, since you know not what you speak of. But if ever the duke return, as our prayers are he may, let me desire you to make your answer before him. I pray you. Your name?
My name is Lucio, well known to the duke.
He shall know you better, sir, if I may live to report you.
I fear you not. Say that I said so. Farewell.
No might nor greatness and mortality can sent your escape. That wounding calumny the widest virtue strikes. What king so strong can tie up the gall in a slanderous tongue? But who comes here?
Go! Away with her to prison!
Good, my lord. Be good to me. Your honor is accounted a merciful man. Good, my lord.
Double and treble abomination, and still forfeit in the same kind. This would make mercy swear and play the tyrant.
A bond of 11 years continuance, may it please your honor.
My lord, this is one Lucio's information against me. Mistress Kate Keepdown was with child by him in the duke's time. He promised her marriage. This child is 1.25 years old. I have kept it myself, and see how he goes about to abuse me.
That fellow is a fellow of much license. Let him be called before us. Away with her to prison! Go, no more words. Good evening, Father.
Bless and goodness on you. I pray you, sir, of what disposition was the duke?
One that was above all other strifes, contented especially to know himself.
What pleasure was he given to?
Rather rejoicing to see another married than married anything which professed to make him rejoice. A gentleman of all temperance. But leave we him to his events with a prayer that may prove prosperous. I am going to visit the prisoner. Farewell.
Peace be with you. Very well met and welcome. What is the news from this good deputy?
There I have made my promise upon the heavy metal of the night to call upon him.
But shall you on your knowledge find his way?
He did show me the way. Twice over.
Are there no other tokens between you agreed concerning her observances?
No, none. But only a repair in the dark, and that I possessed him my most steady be but brief.
'Tis well borne up. I have not yet made known to Marianne a word of this. What ho! Within, come forth! I pray you, be acquainted with this maid. She comes to do you good.
I do desire the like.
Do you persuade yourself that I respect you?
Good friar, I know you do, and have found it.
Take then this your companion by the hand, who hath a story ready for your ear. I shall attend your leisure, but make haste. The vaporous night approaches.
Will please you walk beside?
Oh, place and greatness! Millions of false eyes are stuck upon me. Volumes of report run with these false and most contrarious quests.
She'll take the enterprise upon her, father, if you advise it.
It is not my consent, but my entreaty too.
Little have you to say to him when you depart, but soft and low, remember now, my brother.
Fear me not.
Nor, gentle daughter, fear you not at all. He is your husband on a free contract. To bring you thus together tis no sin. Sit that the justice of your recital to him doth flourish the deceit. Come, let us go. Our corns to reap, for yet our tides to sow.
Come hither, Sarah.
Can you cut off a man's head?
If the man be a bachelor, sir, I can. But if not, if he's a married man, he's his wife's head, and I can never cut off a woman's head.
Come, sir. Leave me your snatches and yield me a direct answer. Tomorrow morning are to die Claudio and Barnaby. Here is in our prison a common executioner who in his office lacks a helper. If you will take it on to assist him, it shall redeem you from your crimes. If not, you shall have your full time of imprisonment and your deliverance with an unpitied whipping, for you have been a notorious bawd.
Sir, I have been an unlawful bawd time out of mind, but yet I will be content to be a lawful hangman. I would be glad to receive some instruction from my fellow partner.
What ho! A parson! Where's a parson there?
Do you call, sir?
Sirrah, here's a fellow who will help you tomorrow in your execution. He hath been a bawd.
A bawd, sir? Fie upon him! He will discredit our mystery.
Go to, sir. You weigh equally. A feather will turn the scale.
Sir, by your good favor. For surely, sir, a good favor you have, but that you have a hanging look. Do you call, sir, your occupation a mystery?
Aye, sir, a mystery.
Painting, sir, I have heard say, is a mystery, and your horns, sir, being members of my occupation, using painting, do prove my occupation a mystery. But what mystery there should be in hanging, if I should be hanged, I cannot imagine.
Sir, it is a mystery.
Are you agreed?
Sir, I will serve him, for I do find your hangman is a more penitent trade than your bawd. He doth oftener ask forgiveness.
You, sir, provide your block and your axe tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Come on, bawd. I will instruct thee in my trade. Follow.
Look, here's the warrant. Claudio, for thy death. It is now dead midnight, and by 8 tomorrow there must be made immortal. Where's Barnaby? Who can do good on him? Welcome, father. What comfort is there, Claudio?
There's some in hope.
It is a bitter deputy.
This is a gentle provost. Seldom when the steel jailer is the friend of men. Have you no counterman for Claudio yet? But must he die tomorrow?
None, sir, none.
As near the dawning, provost, as it is, you shall hear more ere morning.
Happily, you know something, no. Yet I believe there comes no counterman. No such examples have we. Besides, upon the very siege of justice, Lord Angelo hath to the public ear professed the contrary. Mrs. Liz, lordship's servant.
And here comes Claudio's pardon.
My lord hath sent you this note, and by me this further charge, that you swerve not from the smallest article of it, neither in time, matter, or other circumstance. Good morrow, for, as I take it, it is almost day.
I shall obey him.
This is his pardon, purchased by such sin for which the pardoner himself is in. Now, sir, what news?
Whatsoever you may hear to the contrary, that Claudio be executed by 4 o'clock, and in the afternoon, Barnaby. For my better satisfaction, let me have Claudio's head sent me by 5. Let it be duly performed with a thought that more depends on it than we must yet deliver. Thus fail not to do your office, as you will answer it at your peril. What say you to this, sir?
What is that Barnardine who is to be executed in the afternoon? Hath he borne himself penitently in prison?
Careless, reckless, or fearless of what's past, present, or to come. Insensible of mortality, and desperately immortal. Drunk many times a day, if not many days entirely drunk, we very often waked him, as if to carry him to execution, and showed him a seeming warrant for it,
It hath not moved him at all.
More of him anon. There is written in your brow, Provost, honesty and constancy. I pray but 4 days' respite, for the which you are to do me both a present and a dangerous courtesy.
Pray, sir, in what?
In the delaying death.
Alack, how might I do it, having the hour limited, and an express command under penalty to deliver his head in the view of Angelo? I may make my case as Claudio's to cross this in the smallest.
By the vow of mine order, I warrant you, if my instructions may be your guide, let this Barnardine be this morning executed, and his head borne to Angelo.
Angelo has seen them both and will discover the favor.
Oh, death's a great disguiser, and you may add to it. Shave the head and tie the beard, and say it was the desire of the penitent to be so bared before his death. You know the course is common. If anything fall to you upon this, more than thanks and good fortune, by the saint whom I profess, I will plead against it with my life.
Pardon me, good father. It is against my oath.
Were you sworn to the duke or the deputy? Look you, sir, here is the hand and seal of the duke. You know the character, I doubt not, and the signet is not strange to you.
I know them both.
The contents of this is the return of the duke. You shall anon read it at your pleasure. Where you shall find, within these 2 days, he will be here. This is a thing that Angelo knows not. Call your executioner, and off with Barnardine's head. I will give him a present shrift and advise him for a better place. Yet you are amazed, but this will absolutely resolve you. Come away. It is almost clear dawn.
I am as well acquainted here as I was at our house, professional. One would think this were Mistress Overdone's own house, for here be many of her old customers.
Fira!
Bring Barnardine hither.
Oh, Master Barnardine, you must rise and be hanged. Master Barnardine!
What ho, Barnardine?
A pox on your throats. What makes that noise there? What are you?
Your friend, sir, the hangman. You must be so good, sir, to rise and be put to death.
Away, you rogue, away. I am sleepy.
Tell him he must awake, and that quickly, too.
Pray, Master Barnardine, awake till you are executed, and sleep afterward.
Go away. Fetch him out.
He is coming, sir, he is coming. I hear his straw rustle.
Is the axe upon the block, sirrah?
Very ready, sir.
How now, Borisom? What's the news with you?
Truly, sir, I would desire you to clap into your prayers. For look you, the Lord's come.
You rogue, I have been drinking all night, and I am not fitted for it.
For the he that drinks all night and is hanged 2 times in the morning may sleep the sounder all the next day.
Look you, sir, here comes your ghostly father. Do we jest now, think you?
Sir, induced by my charity, and hearing how hastily you are to depart, I am come to advise you, comfort you, and pray with you.
Friar, not I. I have been drinking hard all night, and I will have some more time to prepare me, or they shall beat out my brains with billets. I will not consent to die this day, that's for certain.
Oh, sir, you must. And therefore I beseech you, look forward on the journey. You shall go.
I swear, I will not die today for any man's persuasion.
But hear you.
Not a word. If you have something to say to me, come to my ward, for thanks will not I today.
Unfit to live or die. Right.
Now, sir, how do you find the prisoner?
A creature unprepared, unmeet for death, and to transport him to mind, he is more damnable.
Here in the prison, father, there died this morning of a cruel fever one Ragazine, a most notorious pirate, a man of Claudio's years, his beard and head just of his color. What if we do omit this reprobate till he were well inclined and satisfy the deputy with the visage of Ragazine, more like the Claudio?
Oh, 'tis an accident that heaven provides! Dispatch it presently. The hour draws on, prefixed by Angelo. See this be done and sent according to command. whilst I persuade this rude wretch willingly to die. Put them in secret holds, both Barnardine and Claudia.
I am your free dependent.
Quick, dispatch and send ahead to Angela. Now will I write letters to Angela, the provost he shall bear them, whose content shall witness to him I am near at home, and that by great injunctions I am bound to enter publicly. Him I'll desire to meet me at the consecrated fount a league below the city, and from thence, by cold gradation and well-balanced form, we shall proceed with Angela.
Peace! How?
The tongue of Isabel. She's come to know if yet her brother's pardon be come hither. But I will keep her ignorance of her good, to make her heavenly comforts of despair when it is least expected. Good morning to you, fair and gracious daughter.
The better, given me by so holy a man. Hath he the deputy sent my brother's pardon?
He hath released him, Isabel, from the world. His head is off and sent to Angela.
Nay, but it is not so.
It is no other. Show your wisdom, daughter, in your close patience.
Him and pluck out his eyes.
You shall not be admitted to his sight.
Happy Claudio. Wretched Isabel, injurious world, most damned Angelo.
This nor hurts him, nor profits you a jot. Forbear it, therefore. Give your cause to heaven. Mark what I say, which you shall find by every syllable of faithful verity. The Duke comes home tomorrow. Nay, dry your eyes. Already he hath carried notice to Aeschylus and Angelo, who do prepare to meet him at the gates, there to give up their power. If you can, pace your wisdom in that good path that I wish you to go, and you shall have your bosom on this wretch, grace of the Duke, revenge to your heart, and general honor.
I am directed by you.
Who's here?
Raven? Friar, where's the provost?
Not within, sir.
Pretty Isabella, I am pale at my heart to see thy eyes so red. I must be patient, but they say the Duke will be here tomorrow. By my troth, Isabel, I love thy brother. The old fantastical Duke of Dark Corners had been at home, he had lived.
Sir, the Duke is marvelous little beholding in your reports, but the best is, he lives not in them.
Friar, thou knowest not the Duke as well as I do. He's a better woodman now than thou thinkest him for.
Well, you'll answer this one day. Fare you well.
Hey, Terry, I'll go along with thee. I can tell thee pretty tales of the Duke.
You have told me too many already of him, sir, if they be true. If not true, none were enough.
I was once before him for getting a wench with child.
Did you such a thing?
Yes, marry did I. But I was fain to forswear it. Who else have married me to the rotten meddler?
Sir, your company is fairer than honest. Rest you well.
Our metro, I'll go with thee to the lane's end. If body talk offend you, we'll have very little of it. Nay, friar, I am a kind of burr. I will stick.
His actions show like to madness. Pray heaven his wisdom be not tainted. Why meet him at the gates if we deliver our authorities there?
I guess not.
And why proclaim it an hour before his entering that if any crave redress of injustice, they should exhibit their petitions in the street.
He shows his reason for that, to have us dispatch of complaints and to deliver us from devices hereafter, which shall then have no power to stand against us.
Well, I beseech you, let it be proclaimed the times, the more. I'll call you at your house. Give notice to such men of sort and suit as for our to meet him.
I shall, sir. Fare you well.
Good night. This deed unshakes me quite, makes me unpregnant and dull to all proceedings. Our maid? Am I an eminent body that enforce the law against it? But that her tender shame will not proclaim against her maiden loss how much she might tumble. And yet reason dares her no, for my authority bears of a Cretan bulk that no particular scandal once can touch but confounds the breather. Should have lived, save that right as youth with dangerous sense might in the times have come to have taken revenge or so, by so receiving a dishonored life of ransom of such shame. But yet he had lived. Alack, when once our grace we have forgot, nothing goes right. We would, and we would not. old and faithful friend. We are glad to see you.
Happy return be to your royal grace.
Many and hearty thankings to you both. We have made inquiry of you, and we hear such goodness of your justice that our soul cannot but yield you forth to public thanks for running more requital.
Make my bond still greater.
Oh, your desert speaks loud, and I should wrong it to lock it in the rewards of covert bosom when it deserves, with characters of brass, afforded residence against the tooth of time and razor of oblivion. Give me thy hand and let the subject see. Come, Aeschylus, you must walk by us on our other hand, and good supporters are you.
That's I in it, like your grace.
That's me indeed.
You were not bid to speak.
No, my good lord, nor wish to hold my peace.
I wish you now, then. Pray you take note of it. And when you have a business for yourself, pray heaven you then be perfect.
I warrant your honor.
That warrants for yourself. Take heed to it.
This gentleman told somewhat of my tale.
Right?
It may be right, but you were in the wrong to speak before your time. Proceed.
I went to this pernicious Caitiff deputy.
That's somewhat madly spoken.
Pardon it. The phrase is to the matter.
Mend it again. The matter. Proceed.
In brief, to set the needless process by the vile conclusion, I now begin to grief and shame the other. He would not, but by gift of my chaste body to his concupiscible intemperate lust, release my brother. And, after much debatement, I did yield to him. But the next morn betimes, his purpose surfeiting, he sends a warrant for my poor brother's head.
This is most likely.
Oh, that were it as like as it is true.
By heaven, fond wretch, thou knowest not what thou speakest, or else thou art suborned against his honor in hateful practice. First, his integrity stands without blemish. Next, it imports no reason that with such vehemency he should pursue faults proper to himself. If he had so offended, he would have weighed thy brother by himself and not have cut him off. Someone has set you on. Confess the truth, and say by whose advice thou camest here to complain.
And is that all? Then, O you blessed ministers above, keep me in patience, and with record of time unfold the evil which is here wrapped up in countenance. Heaven shield your grace from woe as I thus wrong this unbelieved go.
I know you fain be gone. An officer, to prison with her! Shall we thus permit a blasting and a scandalous breath to fall on him so near us? This must needs be a practice. Who knew of your intent in coming hither?
One that I would were here, Friar Lodowick.
Who knows this Lodowick?
My lord, I do know him.
'Tis a meddling friar.
Had he been lame, my lord, for certain words he spake against your grace in your retirement, I had swinged him soundly.
Words against me? This is a good friar, belike. And to set on this wretched woman here against our substitute, let this friar be found.
But yesternight, my lord, she and that friar, I saw them at the prison. A saucy friar, a very scurvy fellow.
Do you not smile at this, Lord Angelo? Oh, heaven, the vanity of wretched fools. Give us some seats. Come, cousin Angelo, in this I'll be impartial. Be you judge of your own cause. Oh, is this the witness? First, let her show her face, and after speak.
Pardon, my lord, I will not show my face until my husband bid me.
What, are you married?
No, my lord.
Are you a maid?
No, my lord.
Ah, a widow, then?
Neither, my lord.
Why, you are nothing, then, neither maid, widow, nor wife?
My lord, she may be a punk, for many of them are neither maid, widow, nor wife.
Silence that fellow! Would he had some cause to prattle for himself?
Well, my lord.
My lord, I do confess I ne'er was married, and I confess besides I am no maid. I have known my husband, yet my husband knows not he ever knew me.
He was drunk then, my lord. It can be no better.
For the benefit of silence, would thou wert so too!
Well, my lord.
This is no witness for Lord Angelo.
Now I come to it, my lord, that she accuses him of fornication, in self-same manner doth accuse my husband, and charges him, my lord, with such a time when all suppose I had him in mine arms with all the effects of love.
You say your husband?
Why, just, my lord, and that is Angelo, who thinks he knows that he ne'er knew my body, but knows he thinks he knows Isabel's.
This is a strange abuse. Let's see thy face.
My husband bids me. I will now unmask. This is the face, cool Angelo, which once thou swore it was worth looking at on. This is the hand, with a vowed contract, was fastly locked in thine. This is the body that took away the match from Isabel, and did supply thee at thy garden house in her imagined person.
Know you this woman?
Carnally, she says.
Sirrah, no more.
Enough, my lord.
My lord, I confess I know this woman, and 5 years since there was some speech of marriage betwixt myself and her, which was broke off partly for her proposed proportions came short of composition, but in chief for that her reputation was disvalued in levity. Since which time of 5 years I never spake with her, saw her, nor heard from her upon my faith and honor.
Noble prince, as here comes light from heaven and words, as from breath, as there is sense in truth and truth in virtue, I am affianced, this man's wife, as strongly as words can make up vows, and my good lord, but Tuesday night, last dawn, in Garden's house, he knew me as a wife, and this is true, let me in safety rise, me for my knees, or else ever be confixed here, a marble monument.
I did but smile till now. Now, good my lord, give me scope of justice. My patience here is touched. I do perceive these poor, informal women are no more than instruments of some mightier member that sets them on. Let me have my way, my lord, to find this practice out. Aye, with my heart, and punish them to your heights of pleasure. Thinkest thou thy oaths the living swear down each particular saint were testimonies against his worth and credit that sealed in approbation. You, Lord Aeschylus, sit with my cousin, lend him your kind pains to find out this abuse whence 'tis derived. There is another friar that set them on, let him be sent for. And you, my noble and well-warranted cousin, whom it concerns to hear this matter for, do with your injuries as seems you best in any chastisement. I for a while will leave you, but stir not till you have well determined upon these slanderers.
My lord will do it thoroughly. Signor Lucio, did you not say you knew that Friar Lodowick to be a dishonest person?
And one that hath spoke most villainous speeches of the Duke.
We shall entreat you to abide here till he come and enforce them against him. We shall find this friar a notable fellow.
That's Penny in Vienna, on my word.
My lord, here comes the rascal I spoke of. Here with the provost.
In very good time. Speak not you to him till we call upon you.
Mama.
Come, sir, did you set these women on to slander Lord Angelo? They have confessed you did.
'Tis false.
How? Know you where you are?
Respect to your great place, and let the devil be sometime honored for his burning throne. Where is the Duke? 'Tis he should hear me speak.
The Duke's in us, and he will hear you speak. Look, you speak justly.
This is the rascal, this is he I spoke of.
Why, thou unreverend and unhallowed friar, is it not enough thou hast suborned these women to accuse this worthy man, but in foul mouth and in the witness of his proper ear, to call him villain?
My business in this state made me a looker-on here in Vienna, where I have seen corruption, boil and bubble, slither along the stew.
Slander to the state! Away with him to prison!
What can you batch against him, Signor Lucio? Is this the man that you did tell us of?
You see, my lord.
Come hither. Good man, bald pate. Do you know me?
I remember you, sir, by the sound of your voice. I met you at the prison, in the absence of the Duke.
Oh, did you so? And do you remember what you said of the Duke?
Most notably, sir.
Do you so, sir? And was the Duke a freshmonger, a fool, and a coward, as you then reported him to be?
You must, sir, change persons with me ere you make that my report. You, indeed, spoke so much of him, and much more, much worse.
Oh, thou damnable fellow, did not I pluck thee by the nose for thy speeches?
I protest, I love the Duke as I love myself.
Hark! How the bell would close now after his treasonable abuses!
Such a fellow is not to be talked withal. Away with him to prison! Where is the provost? Away with him to prison!
Stay, sir. Stay a while.
What? Resist he? Help him, Lucio!
Come, sir. Why, you bald-pated, lying rascal. You must be hooded, must you? Show your knave's visage with a pox to you. Will it not off? Ha!
Thou art the first knave that ever knaved a duke. Sneak not away, sir, for the friar and you must have a word anon.
This may prove worse than hanging.
What you have spoke, I pardon. Sit you down. We'll borrow a place of him. Sir, by your leave, hast thou more word or wit or impudence than yet can do thee office? If thou hast, rely upon it until my tale be heard, and hold that no longer out.
Oh, my dread lord, I should be guiltier than my guiltiness to think that an undiscernible, I could be undiscernible when I perceive your grace, like power divine that looked upon my passes. Then, good prince, no longer such a hold upon my name, but let my trial be thine, my own confession. Immediate sentence, then, and secret death, as all the grace I beg.
Come hither, Mariana. Say, wast thou ever contracted to this woman?
I was, my lord.
Go, take her hence, and marry her instantly. Which consummate, return him here again. Go with him, provost.
My lord, I am more amazed at his dishonor than at the strangeness of it.
Come hither, Isabel. Your friar is now your prince. As I was then advertising and holy to your business, not changing heart with habit, I am still attorneyed at your service.
Well, give me pardon that I, your vassal, have employed and pained your unknown sovereignty.
You are pardoned, Isabel. And now, dear maid, be you as free to us. Your brother's death, I know, sits at your heart. And you may marvel why I obscured myself, laboring to save his life, and would not rather make rash remonstrance of my hidden power than let him be so lost. Oh, most kind maid, it was the swift celerity of his death, which I did think that slower foot came on, that brained my purpose. But peace be with him. That life is better alive past fearing death than that which lives to fear. Make it your comfort, so happy is your brother.
I do, my lord.
For this new married man approaching here, you must pardon for Mariana's sake. But, as he adjudged your brother, being criminal, in double violation of sacred chastity and a promise breach thereon dependent, for your brother's life, the very law cries out most audible, even from his proper tongue. An Angelo for Claudio, death for death. Haste still pays haste, and leisure answers leisure. Life doth quit life, and measure still for measure. We do condemn thee to the very block where Claudio stooped to death, and with like haste. Away with him.
Oh, my gracious lord, I hope you will not mock me with a husband.
It is your husband mocked you with a husband. For his possessions, although by confiscation they are ours, we do instate and widow you withal, to buy you a better husband.
Oh, my dear lord, I crave no other. No better man.
Never crave him. We are definitive.
Gentle, my liege.
You do but lose your labor. Away with him to death. Now, sir, to you.
Oh, my good lord, sweet Isabel, take my part. Lend me your knees. And all my life to come, I'll lend you all my life to do your service.
Against all sense, you do importune her. Should she kneel down in mercy at this fact, her brother's ghost, his paved bed would break and take her hence in horror.
Isabel, sweet Isabel, do yet but kneel by me. Hold up your hand, say nothing, I'll speak all. And they say the best men are molded out of faults, and, for the most, become much more the better. For being a little bad, so may my husband. Oh, Isabel, will you not lend a knee?
He dies for Claudio's death.
Most bounteous, sir. Look, if it please you, on this man condemned as if my brother lived, I partly think it you sincerely to govern his deeds till he did look upon me. Since it is so, let him not die. My brother had but justice in that he did the thing for which he died. For Angelo, his act did not o'ertake his bad intent, and must be buried but as an intent. Let perish, by the way. Thoughts are no subjects, intents but merely thoughts.
Merely, my lord.
Your suit's unprofitable. Stand up, I say. I have bethought me of another fault. Provost, how came it Claudio was beheaded at an unusual hour?
It was commanded so.
Had you a special warrant for the deed?
No, my good lord, it was by private message.
For which I do discharge you of your office. Give up your keys.
Pardon me, noble lord, I thought it was a fault, but knew it not. Yet did repent me after more advice, for testimony whereof one in the prison that should by private order else have died, I have reserved alive.
What's he? I would thou hadst done so by Claudio.
This is another prisoner that I saved, who should have died when Claudio lost his head. Is like almost to Claudio as to himself.
If he be like your brother, for his sake is he pardoned. And for your lovely sake, give me your hand and say he will be mine. He is my brother too, but fitter time for that. By this, Lord Angelo perceives he's safe. And yet, here's one in place I cannot pardon. You, Sirrah, the new me for a fool, a coward, one all of luxury, an ass, a madman. Wherein have I deserved of you that you extol me thus?
My lord, I spoke it but according to the trick. If you will hang me for it, you may, but I'd rather it please you I might be whipped.
Whipped first, sir. And hanged after. Proclaim it, provost, round about the city. Is any woman wronged by this lewd fellow? As I have heard him swear himself, there's one whom he begot with child. Let her appear, and he shall marry her. The nuptial finished, let him be whipped and hanged.
I beseech your highness, do not marry me to a H-O-R. Your highness said even now, I made you a duke. Good, my lord, do not recompense me by making me a cuckold.
Upon mine honor, thou shalt marry her. Thy slanders I forgive, and therewithal remit thy other faults.
Aww.
Marrying a punk, my lord, is pressing to death, whipping and hanging.
Slandering a prince deserves it. She, Claudio, that you wronged, look you restored. Joy to you, Mariana. Love her, Angelo. I have confessed her, and I know her virtue. Thanks, good friend Aeschylus, for thy much goodness. Thanks, provost, for thy care and secrecy. We shall employ thee in a worthier place. Dear Isabel, I have a motion which much imports your good, whereto, if you'll a willing ear incline, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. So, bring us to our palace, where we'll show what's yet behind that's meet you all should know. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you're interested on future shows, I believe we're doing
Henry IV, Part 2, Shakespearean Blues.
Next month.
The Reckoning.
And we've got other programming later in the semester. Check us out on the English Department website or at improbablefictions.org. Thank you all for coming.